against the C-5A, against the main tank, against the Trident submarine, against the F-14 fighter. And the list goes on and on and on and on. He wants to bring our troops home from Europe. And I just ask you a very serious question. I know we want to save money. We don't want waste. We don't want to spend your tax money for defense just to spend your tax money. But I wonder sometimes that I sit in the Senate and I see Senator Mondale and that little band of ultra, ultra liberals vote again and again and again to cut our defense budget, vote again and again and again to delay or somehow do away with some new weapon system. What condition our country would be in if they had their way and if they had the majority and if they were in some position of great influence like the office of the vice presidency or maybe even the office of the presidency. And I say we ought to take a look. We ought to take a hard look because it's our country. It's our freedom. Your sons and your grandsons. And that's what it's all about. That's his right. I don't quarrel with his right to want to do that. I quarrel with his judgment. I quarrel with Governor Carter's judgment. And that's a right we have in America. And I quarrel with Governor Carter for going to Seattle, Washington on August 21st or 22nd, whenever it was, and saying to the American Legion, he knew how strongly the American Legion felt about amnesty. They're against it for draft evaders and deserters. So Governor Carter tried one of his cute little tricks, said, I'm against amnesty, but I'm for a blanket pardon. Well, I spoke the next day, and I got out my dictionary just to see where I was or what I was supposed to say. I looked up the word amnesty, and it says under amnesty, general pardon. So here was Governor Carter trying to have it both ways again. And I can tell this audience that the Ford Dole administration is against a blanket pardon, or blanket amnesty, or blanket clemency. And let me tell you why. You know, there's still several hundred Americans missing in Southeast Asia. I just sort of have a gut feeling that our priorities ought to be to concern ourselves first with those forgotten Americans in Southeast Asia, and not with those who forgot America and left this country in a time of need. And that's what it's all about. And I know that Governor Carter has gotten away for a long time with this talk that he's a conservative or a moderate or something. He didn't say that last week up in New York when he was attending the liberal dinner as the honored guest of the New York Liberal Party. I don't think they endorse conservatives. I don't think they endorse moderates. You've got to be a litmus paper liberal to sit down with that group. And he was there. And I assume he flew back down south and said he was still a conservative. And so I just say as earnestly as I can, I have great confidence in President Ford. He's an honest, decent, open, competent American. He's concerned about freedom. He's concerned about all Americans. He doesn't lack compassion. He doesn't lack leadership. And these are charges that Governor Carter has made. And I'll tell you one other thing about President Ford. He doesn't go around giving interviews or otherwise insulting great Americans like the late President Johnson or like George Wallace or like Billy Graham, and then call up the next day and apologize. And I wonder about the pattern of conduct. I wonder about a person's character, man or woman, who finds it in his heart to make such harsh judgments about other Americans. And just when I thought he had said everything he was going to say, we learned today that he said something else in the Ladies' Home Journal that's about to come out. Another insult aimed at the late President Johnson. So I assume tomorrow, he tries to do it within 24 hours, he'll be calling Lady Bird again and say, well, I'm sorry, I just sort of slipped out. And I asked those of you present, because I know you care about your country. You care about a philosophy. You care about the free enterprise system. You're concerned about the direction we're heading for the next 4 years. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about his proposals for tax reform. Oh, he talks a great fight. He said in this interview he thought he didn't think any Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Anyone here doesn't want their taxes lowered? We've got a doctor standing by, and he'll get to you as soon as he can if there's anyone here. But that's what Carter said. He said he wanted to increase taxes for those above the median income. Now, he runs around talking all these buzzwords about the rich and the loopholes, and he knows a loophole when he sees one. He knows a loophole when he sees one, a $41,000 loophole. He learned about that in 75 when he took it off his tax. I think the investment tax credit is good. All I want him to do is define it. Is it a loophole or not a loophole? And I know today that Senator Long... I know today that Senator Long, who's the chairman of our finance committee, said that Carter would have to be a magician to pay for those programs without raising taxes of middle-income Americans. And I think Senator Long knows a lot more about taxes than Governor Carter ever will. So I'll take his word for it. You don't need to take my word for it. Take Senator Long's word for it. So I appreciate very much this opportunity. Friday night's going to be a very important night in the history of America. It's going to be the final debate, President Ford and Governor Carter. And I would guess that debate could determine who might be the next president of the United States. I have great confidence in President Ford. I think he's going to win that debate. And we're going to have that momentum necessary to win. And let's not be misled by the fact that there are 1,200 people here. It's a very, very, very close race. Maybe not in Mississippi. I think we're inching ahead in Mississippi. But it's a close race across this country. And I believe, as we take a hard look at it, that for the sake of America and the sake of freedom in the world and peace in the world and strength in the world, our best hope for leadership, far and above the outstanding choice for leadership in America for the next 4 years, is the election of President Ford. Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much. Somebody said you've been waiting a while, and we apologize for that. I just want to get up here and say hello and say, first of all, that we certainly would appreciate your help on November 2nd. We believe there's a very clear choice between President Ford and Governor Carter. Now, if you want more federal spending and more federal control and more government interference and gun control and any kind of control you can think of, then you ought to vote for Carter. But if you want limited government and less interference and no gun controls and a lot of other no controls, then you vote for President Ford, and it's just that simple. That's really the way it is. Now, if you're concerned about right-to-work laws, some of you may belong to unions, some of you may not, I think you ought to have a choice. Governor Carter doesn't think you ought to have that choice. And I just say there are many, many reasons, many, many good reasons, why President Ford should not only be elected, but be elected by a landslide in the South. I said last night, early on in this campaign, people said, well, President Ford has written off the South. That wasn't the case. It wasn't the case then. It's not the case now. But I've got a feeling that maybe the South may write off Jimmy Carter, and that would be good news for all America. Believe me, it really would. We've now been in 40 states since August 19. I don't know really why I was put on the ticket, but I'm very proud to be on the ticket. My views are conservative views. I think they would be the views of most everyone in this audience. I also vote the way I talk. I don't make a speech here and another speech somewhere else. We think we make the same statements all across America. I believe most Americans have moderate to conservative political views. They're concerned about government. They're concerned about government interference. You're also taxpayers. You ought to be concerned about spending. Now, Governor Carter has said he didn't think Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Is there anybody here who doesn't want their taxes lowered? If there is, we'll have a doctor look at you right away. That's Governor Carter's statement, not our statement. He's also said that every middle-income American family should have their taxes increased. Well, middle-income or median-income in America is about $14,000 per family. And I don't think middle-income taxpayers ought to have a tax increase. They ought to have a tax cut. And President Ford's advocated a tax cut. So I would just like to walk around and visit with some of you. If you have questions, I'd be happy to respond. But I would ask you, as I did a moment ago, we want to crack the South. We want to crack the South for America. We want to crack that peanut in Georgia for America. And they tell us the peanut's the easiest nut to crack. So I think perhaps we're on the right track. And I can also say that pineapple juice is a lot better for you than peanut butter anyway. For one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. So in these last 10 days, or last 11 days before the election, I really hope you'll take a hard look at President Ford's record, take a hard look at my record. If you can stand it, you can even look at Mondale's record. But it's very, very liberal. Everything you're against, he's for. I'd almost bet everyone in this audience, well, not everyone, I see a few who drifted in, who don't come from this part of the country, but I'd be willing to bet that everything he's for, the people in this area would be against. I don't think you're for gun control, are you? Mondale is. I don't think you want to cut our defense budget and cut our defense budget and cut our defense budget, but Mondale does. He wants to take all of our troops out of Europe. I think one thing we must keep in mind in America, if you're a mother or a grandmother or a young man, is the fact that we're at peace in the world, and that means a great deal. No one is being fired at. No one is being killed overseas. And that's largely because we're a strong country. And we're a strong country because of President Ford's leadership. And so I just thank you very much for letting me have this opportunity. And as you're rolling down the highway, think about rolling for us on November 2nd. Thank you very much.
This is the right place?
Yeah, right here.
Bye. Go ahead.
Nancy, we want to make you an admiral of Baya Tesh and hope you come back to visit our community again.
That's like the keys of the city?
Well, it's about the same, except Baya Tesh is a bay that runs through New Iberia.
Right.
And so it's kind of like a Kentucky Colonel or something. Make you an admiral of Baya Tesh.
Well, yeah. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, there. I'm now an admiral.
Excuse me.
There's a large crowd here.
Right.
Of Iberians, and we're delighted to have you. And I know that they would enjoy shaking your hand and talking to you.
Right. I just wanted to say to the, particularly the Louisiana press, that we're very pleased to be here. This is another crack in the South, and we're going to carry the great state of Louisiana. We believe our philosophy is right, and the philosophy of Governor Carter is alien to the South. And so we're going to work up until the last minute, and things are looking up across the country. We're going to win. If anybody has any questions, otherwise I'll go over and start shaking hands.
Senator, about 50% of Louisiana's economy is geared toward the oil industry. Mr. Carter has said that he's in favor of breaking up the oil companies. What do you say about that, man?
It may be good politics up north, but when it gets cold up there, maybe those people understand that we're not going to solve the energy crisis by trying to break up the oil companies. And who owns the oil companies? American stockholders, men and women who've saved money and bought stock. If there's some efficiency in breaking up the companies, I haven't seen it. Senator Mondale, of course, has voted to break up the oil companies. His only contribution to the energy crisis was to vote to delay the Alaska pipeline. They want to roll back prices, they're opposed to deregulation, break up the oil companies, and it just seems to me that that's a short-sighted policy. It doesn't produce any energy. It may be good politics in parts of the country, but it's not sound leadership, the kind we need. I might add that President Ford has just the opposite view. He wants an energy policy.
Senator, what was your reaction to the Mondale statement that neither you nor the President would make a good dog catcher?
Oh, did he say that? Well, he's very very much a hatchet man. I see he's finally getting out in the open, but he gets the press to label me a hatchet man while he's around making insulting remarks. I guess he's learned that from Governor Carter, who insults nearly everyone he can and apologizes the next day. He'll have a lot of time after November 2nd to apologize to all the good Americans he's insulted. He can call from planes. But I hadn't... When did he say that? Well, it's a new high for Mondale.
Senator, the sugar industry is in serious economic trouble here. What is the Ford administration favor doing as far as helping sugar farmers get a higher price for cane?
Well, of course, we know the problem, and of course, the tariffs have been tripled. That hasn't had enough of an impact on the price. The world price is low, and your cost is higher than the price you receive, and you're right in the middle of harvest now. I just suggest that we're looking at it. If everything else fails, I would hope the president might take a look at quotas.
Senator, what does he seem to be in favor of quotas right now? Because that's what the sugar leaders are wanting, country-by-country quotas.
Right. That's the old system, you know. And I was on the Senate or House Ag Committee and on the Senate Finance Committee, which deals with sugar legislation. Mm-hmm. We thought it was unfortunate we didn't pass a Sugar Act when it expired in 1974. That's just one thing I would recommend we look at. I can't quote the president because I haven't talked with him about it.
There's a new farm bill coming up next year. Is there any movement to include sugar in that general farm bill, or are they possibly looking at a separate sugar act?
Well, normally they handle sugar legislation separately because of the tax implications. And it's always been sort of a hybrid. It's been handled by the House Agriculture Committee and by the Senate Finance Committee. And, of course, we've appreciate Senator Long's influence on the Senate Finance Committee, but I think we ought to take a look at sugar legislation either separately or together with a farm package. Certainly it's an appropriate time.
One more question, please.
Do you disagree with President Ford on any issues?
Well, let's see. Oh, I disagreed with President Ford on embargoes on grain. I've had some difference of opinion on the food stamp program as far as reform is concerned. I haven't gone down his voting record list, but generally our philosophy is pretty much the same. A moderate to conservative philosophy as opposed to a ultra-liberal philosophy of Mondale and Carter. They support gun control. They want to repeal right-to-work laws. They're for abortion. They're for many things that you don't find in our platform.
Thank you very much.
This young fellow had a question.
The Republican Party has been hurt by the Ford statement on Eastern Europe. I'd like to know, why hasn't the Republican Party in the debates or anywhere made an issue out of the fact that it was in a Democratic administration that Eastern Europe got in their predicament? I don't believe this has come out.
I raised that very peripherally in my debate, talked about Yalta and Potsdam and the secret agreements made by President Roosevelt. He'd make him up on, what is it, today, Thursday? Make him up tomorrow night. There's going to be a little debate tomorrow night, which could really set the stage for November 2nd. Thank you.
One more question. What is your position on drilling for drilling off the Atlantic coast and off the East Coast states?
Well, I think we should. You know, I've said, again, with proper safeguards, we've got to protect the environment. But, you know, we have an energy crisis in this country, and I've just said to some of my friends in those areas that it's a crisis we all have and a crisis we all must share, and we must all try to find a solution. And, you know, we can have proper safeguards. One thing we've got to do is move toward deregulation of natural gas, and I don't know what, I know Mondale wants to roll back the prices, stop the Alaska pipeline, break up the oil companies, and I guess just import more and more from the Mideast. I don't think he has a solution. He generally makes his energy statements when he's out in sunny California.
Senator, do you feel that you would be ready to take over the presidency?
Pardon?
Do you feel that you would be ready to take over the presidency?
Well, not today, but I could probably, because I got a full schedule. But I think so. I've had 16 years in the Congress, and I've had, I think, an adequate background. I get along fairly well with people, and I believe I understand the problems of most Americans. I don't suggest I have all the answers. Carter is the only one who suggests that. He doesn't have any, so he suggests he has all. But I think I'm qualified.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you,
Senator.
Thank you. Congressman Dave Treat.
Spot we've had in 4 days, and we appreciate that very much. But above all, just a chance to say hello to some good people and to talk about their problems. I don't suggest I have all the answers, but I have been on the Agriculture Committee in the House for 8 years, in the Senate for 8 years. President Ford has made it very clear that I'll play an important role in agriculture when I'm vice president, and I'll be dealing with exports, and exports is really the name of the game when it comes to rice production and soybean production and wheat production, and I certainly will do what I can. Also, we talked about sweet potatoes this morning. I'm going to make a phone call on that and get back on the airplane. But I want to talk a little beyond that. I'm standing here now looking at the flag of the United States of America, the greatest country on earth, and that gives me a great deal of pride just to stand here and stare at you and look at that. We're strong in America because our people are strong, and because they understand freedom and they understand liberty. Lost it. And they know one way to preserve it is through a strong defense and a strong military, not just for the sake of spending your tax dollars, but for the sake of peace in the world. And I feel very strongly about that. In the next 7 or 8 days in this campaign, I'm going to repeat time and time again the great influence President Ford has had in keeping our nation strong. And there are some in this country and some in this Congress who would turn their backs on the defense of this country, who vote for every spending cut in defense, vote against every new weapon system. And that may sound good. That may sound good to say, I'm going to cut $5 billion or $10 billion or $15 billion out of defense and put it in some social program. But what happens if we lose our freedom in the process? Doesn't do much good to have more in this program and more in that program if our liberty is threatened. So I just say, when you're in that bullet polling place and voting booth and making that X, take a hard look at Governor Carter. Take a hard look at President Ford. We'll take our chances with the American voters, all American voters. We have one message for all American voters. We believe in peace, and we believe in strength. We believe in prosperity, which means we believe in jobs and fair prices and less government interference and no gun control and no repeal of right-to-work laws and you name it. And we're on your side and they're on the other side. And that's what it's all about on November 2nd. It's just that important. And I happen to know that There may be one or two Democrats in this audience. In fact, there... there may be only one or two Republicans. I don't know who the other one is. Oh, yeah. The third one is. But... we're talking about our country. We're talking about a philosophy. And I think most... Louisianians and others that I've met across this country are concerned about more spending and more taxes, concerned about more government and more interference. I can't be your geographical neighbor. I'm from Kansas and Georgia's a bit closer, but I can be your philosophical neighbor, and that's what really counts. It doesn't matter where we come from, it's how we think, and if we think. And I just say that the peanut's the easiest nut to crack. And we're going to crack the peanut in the South. We're going to carry the state of Louisiana. And we're going to carry other southern states. So I'll just take what time I have left to go out and say hello. And I appreciate very much your letting me come. And happy to be here with Congressman Dave Treen, who's doing an outstanding job. I just say, for the best interest of America, vote for President Ford. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's the Jimmy Carter button.
It's yours.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is my pineapple juice. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter. It doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, so... Miss Grant, say hello. You have a little... Yeah.
Thank you.